God, please. We're turning tonight to Ezekiel chapter 32, and for the sake of time, I just want to read from verse 17 to the verse 21. Ezekiel 32 and the verse 17, and reading from verse 17 to the verse 21. It came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wheel for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, and be thou led with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. With them that help him, they are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Amen. We'll end our reading there if you keep your Bible open, and we'll briefly commit the message now to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the congregational singing. We thank you for the special singing from the three ladies tonight. We thank you for prayer and for the reading of Scripture. Now, Lord, as we take a little time to be still and pause our hearts and our souls, that we might consider the word of the Lord, we pray that a stillness will descend over the gathering. We ask that, Lord, thou wilt fill me with thy Spirit to expound and explain and then to apply the teaching of this passage and the text in particular. We recognize the solemnity and the seriousness of the passage before us tonight. And should there be any gathered with us that are yet on the broad road that leadeth to hell's destruction, may this night they hear the warning voice and flee from wrath to come and flee to Christ, the only Savior of sinners. We pray these things tonight in the Savior's name. Amen. My text tonight is found at the end of verse 18 of Ezekiel 32. And it reads, and I'm just reading the little phrase, them that go down to the pit, or them that go down into the pit. And the title of my message is simply, The People of the Pit. What a solemn message and a solemn passage that we have before us this evening from the Word of God. If you take time to read the 32nd chapter of Ezekiel in its entirety, you will discover that it is a prophecy given by Ezekiel, comes from the Lord through Ezekiel, referred to as the Son of Man in the chapter, and it is a prophecy relating to the doom and the destruction of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and his people and his nation. The first section of the chapter, namely verses 1 to 16, set forth how God would judge Pharaoh. He would use the king of Babylon, and he would bring the sword of the king of Babylon upon the king of Egypt and his people, and they would be judged, and they would be slain, and their souls would enter eternity. You'll see the Lord is going to use the king of Babylon in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. And the subject, verse 2, you will see is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and his people. And so the first part tells of how God is going to bring the king of Babylon upon the king of Egypt and his armies and his people, and the king of Babylon would overcome, would slay the Egyptians, and they would be brought to eternity in judgment. These verses remind us that God is sovereign over the nations. He raises up one and he casts down another, and he brings one in judgment upon the other. The second section of the chapter runs from verse 17 to verse 32. The Lord, through Ezekiel, not only states that Pharaoh and the Egyptians will go down into the pit. Verse 18. Son of man, wheel for the multitude of Egypt and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, under the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. And you'll see there that he's saying that the Egyptians will come down into the pit, and they will come down there with others who have already gone down to the pit. You will discover then, as you read through the section right to the end of the chapter, that the Lord not only mentions Pharaoh and the Egyptians who will go down into the pit, but he goes on to list other men and other nations who were already in the pit. And I should say that verse 21 makes it clear that the pit is a reference to hell. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. And we know from Revelation chapter 20 that hell is described as a bottomless pit. It is called the abyss. It's one of the titles of hell. And here, this phrase, with them that go down to the pit, it's used 5 times in this chapter. Verse 18, verse 24, verse 25, verse 29, and verse 30. With them that go down into the pit. And God is saying that Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they're going to go down into the pit of hell for their sin. And they will join others who have already gone down there. And he lists the names and the nations who were already there. You know, from the outset of this message, these references remind us of the reality of hell. The pit and hell exists. The Bible, as God's word, reminds and teaches us that in the world to come, when our souls leave this world, there are only 2 places and there are only 2 states. There is a place of heaven and the place of glory, where the saints are perfected and glorified, or there is the place called hell. And if hell does not exist, then as far as we are concerned, then the Bible is untrue. If we can't believe from the Bible there is a place called hell, then we can't believe anything else the Bible says. For the Bible over and over and over again sets forth the fact that in the world to come there's a place called hell where sin is judged and punished. I think in this passage too we see not only the reality of hell, it exists, but we see the duration of hell. It is forever. It is not for a generation. It is not for 70 or 100 years. But we will see as we move through the message that the prophet lists those that had been there. Even when he was speaking to the Egyptians through Ezekiel, the Lord lists those that had been there for thousands of years. And we'll see that in a minute. And it reminds us, not only is heaven and glory with Christ eternal and forever, but on the other hand, hell and punishment for sin in eternity is forever. The Lord saying on the day of judgment, recorded in Matthew 25, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting flames prepared for the devil and his angels." Yes, if heaven is eternal, then hell is eternal too. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. Oh, and we can go on and on, but when all those years have passed, there is still forever to come. It has no end. passage reminds us of the reality of hell and the duration of hell, but it goes on the list. The sad and tragic truth that there are people who lived on this earth, and when they died and left this world, their soul entered into the place called hell. And the reason why we preach on such passages like this, and the reason why we explain it and seek to set forth what it means and what it entails and what the Bible says about it, is that men and women in this generation and those that come under the sound of the preacher's voice would see the danger of their souls in sin and flee to Christ for salvation, that they may not enter that place when their life on earth is over. And tonight what I want to do, I want to lift three names from the following passage, from verse 17 to verse 32. I want to pick out a couple of names and I want to speak on the people who have gone down to the pit. And I want to see and note some characteristics about them. I want you firstly to consider the proud sinner has gone down to the pit. Look at verse 22. We finished our reading at verse 21. And you think of those three words in verse 22. Verse 21 has spoke about hell. The mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. And then the first three words of verse 22, they say this, Asher is there. My, that ought to send a shockwave through every soul. We're talking about the place, the blackness of darkness forever. We're talking about the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. We're talking about the place where sin is punished eternally. And the Lord through Ezekiel says, Asher is there. You know, that's something the preacher couldn't say. We stood at many funerals. Some we've officiated at and some we have simply stood at. And if truth be told, we really don't know where the soul of that individual has departed to. And as a minister of the gospel, I have to say, we have to be very slow. In fact, we can never be 100% sure, for we don't know if a man or woman who, largely speaking, almost to the end of their life has rejected Jesus Christ and lived without Him. We don't know if in the final moments they had a dying thief experience. The dying thief lived without Christ. The dying thief rejected the Lord and His ways. But when he was nailed to that cross, and it was just him and Jesus Christ and eternity, he called out for salvation. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And friends, when we stand at the funeral of someone, and they've really left no testimony, we still cannot say with certainty where they are, because we don't know. We haven't all knowledge. And we don't know that in the final moments they may have had a dying thief experience. But I tell you this, and here's the reality, and here's the tragedy, that while we can't conclude where a man or woman's soul is, why we're on this side of heaven, yet the Lord says He knows. And here He gives these words, Asher is there. Who was Asher? If you turn back to Genesis chapter 10, you will see that he was one of the sons of Shem and the grandson of Noah. His grandfather built an ark. His grandfather preached for years that there's one way to be saved from judgment, and it's through the ark, and it's a picture of the gospel. The grandson of Noah, the son of Shem, the soul is lost, and the Lord says he's in hell. Look at Genesis 10 and 22. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher. and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram. And if you run your eye back up to Genesis chapter 10 and verse 11, now you'll see something about Asher. He took up with his cousins, the sons of Ham. You read from verse 6, the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim. Mizraim is the Hebrew word for Egypt, the Egyptians. And then it lists their children. Cush, the son of Cush, was Nimrod. And verse 10, the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar, the Babylonians. Modern day Iraq, that was Nimrod's kingdom. And in Babel or Babylon, in the land of Shinar, it says, out of that land, out of the land of Shinar, went Asher. And he builded Nineveh. He was the first king of Nineveh. He was the father of the Ninevites. And who were the Ninevites? The Ninevites were the Assyrians. And while we're not told much about Asher, other than he built Nineveh, and he was the father then of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were a people who proudly opposed God, proudly opposed the people of God, the Israelites. Turn forward in your Bible now to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. You see, it tells us that not only is Asher there, but it tells us that his people, many of his people are there too. And I'm saying he's a pride sinner. I'm taking that from the fact that his children, his descendants, they were pride opponents of God and his people. And we get a glimpse of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 9 to 15. The most famous king of Assyria was Sennacherib. And he sent Rabshakeh to Judah in the days of Hezekiah, and he besieged Jerusalem. And what did he say? Well, from verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 32 to verse 15, we read of this blasphemous speech. And you take time to read it and you will discover that he told Hezekiah and his people they were not to trust in the Lord to deliver them from the armies of the Assyrians. He said the other nations and the other God, their other gods, they trusted in their other gods. But I was greater than them all. And I overthrew them and I cast them down. And they are now my servants. And your God will have no power to save you from our hand and from our sword. And he proudly opposes God and God's people and denounces God and defies God and says that he's greater than God. It's interesting that Hezekiah took that letter and he spread it before the Lord and he cried unto the Lord. You know what? The Lord sent Sennacherib and his armies and Rabshakeh home, and he delivered Hezekiah out of their hand. I want to tell you, God's greater and above and beyond the pride of sinner and an Asher. I see the father of pride sinners who defy and denounce God in opposition to him and his people, and their cry is, we will not have this man to reign over us. We do not need Jesus Christ. We do not want Jesus Christ, and we don't want him or his ways. In fact, we'll oppose him. And oh, how many does that describe this evening in Portadown, in Craigavon, in Armagh, in Northern Ireland, throughout this world, there are those, and they have heard the name of the one true and living God, and they've heard the message of His Son, Jesus Christ, and yet they feel that they don't need Him, that they are, somehow they can defy Him, and they can resist Him, and they can live as they like, and they can oppose Him. But somehow they will defy and defeat God. That's what Sennacherib's message was, the descendant of Asher, that he would defeat the Lord and his people in Judah.
and God cast them down.
And yet I say to proud sinners who are defying and denouncing and opposing God, I want to say you're not beyond hope of salvation. You're not beyond hope of redemption. Because I read in my Bible how God took a prophet and he sent him to the descendants of Asher. And his name was Jonah. What did the Lord say to Jonah? Arise and go to that great city. Cry against it. And for one generation, Jonah brought the message of repentance. And he went through that city and he cried that the people might repent and they might live. And the Bible tells us the king and the people of that generation, they put on sackcloth and ashes and they repented of their sin before God. And they were delivered from hell and sin and judgment. That's the message of hope. The proud sinner, if he humbles himself in repentance and turns unto the Lord, then were Asher the father of proud, defiant sinners, and all who follow him are in the pit of hell. They have gone down into the pit. Then you can be delivered from it. If you'll but repent and turn from your sin. Go back to Ezekiel 32. There's another sinner that's mentioned. There's another sinner in hell. They said, Asher is there. What a tragedy. The proud sinner is in hell. But then I want you to notice verse 26. And I've described this one as the prosperous sinner. There is Meshach. There it is again. The Lord saying, in the pit. He's already gone down into the pit. And he's there in Ezekiel's day. And he's still there tonight. And friend, you sit up and take notice. Here's a man who lived thousands of years ago. And yet, he is there. He is in the pit. Verse 26, there is Meshach. Where is Meshach tonight? He's not in the grave. And his body has rotted away and he's just dust and ashes. That's not where, oh, that's where his body is. But his soul is in the pit. His soul is in hell. There is Meshach and he's still there. And I have described Meshach as the prosperous sinner. Who was Meshach? We'll turn back again to Genesis chapter 10. And you will see that Meshach was the second son or the son of Japheth. And I haven't noted the reference. I got a reference wrong this morning. I said it was Romans 5 and 14, it was Romans 4 and 15. Now I said I would get it right, and one young man, he already had it on the way out the door this morning. And I haven't noted the reference here to Meshach, so I'm going to try and run my eye down the passage here. And if we see the descendants of Japheth, I think it's verse 2 actually, Genesis 10 and verse 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Taras, Japheth. My, his sons were the sons of the Gentiles. They made up the Gentile nations. And Meshach was one of them. Some commentators believe that he was the father of the Muscovites. Moscow, the Russians. Another grandson of Noah. And what is it that characterizes this man? Well, you turn back in the prophecy of Ezekiel to chapter 27 and the verse 13 and we're told something about Meshach. Ezekiel 27 and the verse 13, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were merchants. Traders, sellers, they traded the persons of men. They took men as their servants or their slaves, and they traded and they sold them for great wealth. They not only traded in the persons of men, they traded in vessels of brass in thy market. They were tradesmen, merchants, sellers of precious things and sellers of men. Their trade was a sinful trade, but that didn't bother them. All they wanted to do was to get gain and prosperity and wealth in life, and they would get it by any means, fair means or foul. All they were intent on was prosperity, and they put prosperity over spirituality. I say tonight, I ask and pose the question, how many does that describe in Portadown, in Craigavon, in County Armagh, in Northern Ireland? All men, many men are interested in is prospering in this world. I have said before from this pulpit, it is right and proper that men should work to earn a living, and it is right and proper that men should receive a living for their labor. But my friends, whenever there are souls and all they see and all they want and all they live for is prosperity in this world, to the neglecting of their soul, to the neglecting of the spiritual, to the neglecting of the eternal, to the neglecting of God's salvation. You know what God calls that man? He calls him a fool. For Jesus, when he was on this earth, he told the parable of a rich man. He says in Luke 12, verse 16 to 21, he told of a rich man, and his ground brought forth plentifully, bountifully. And he asked within himself, what shall I do? And he said, I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and I'll bring in the plentiful harvest, and I'll sell it off, and I say to my soul, eat, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And not once did he consider his soul. Not once did he consider God's eternity. Not once did he consider a heaven to gain or a hell to shun. Jesus said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that night he died, never fulfilling and never seeing the prosperity that his bumper harvest would give him. And his soul entered into a lost sinner's hell, resulting in Jesus saying, man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You see, the treasures of this world will one day be burnt up. And at the grave, you will leave it all behind. Man can live for luxury and prosperity, and he can amass it all up in heaps and live in luxury. But if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, the Bible says, and Jesus said, that man's wealth and prosperity will mean nothing in eternity. Meshach lived, and he lived to trade, and he lived for prosperity, and he neglected his soul, and he died neglecting his soul in sin. And the Lord said, he's there, he's in the pit, the soul has gone down to the pit. And I'm telling you that if you live for prosperity to the neglecting of your soul's salvation, die in that state, there you will be. There you will dwell for all eternity. Oh, the proud sinner is there. The prosperous sinner is there. But if you turn back to Ezekiel 32, there's one more that I want to highlight. This is the greatest tragedy of all. I've entitled him the privileged sinner. You'll see his name mentioned in verse 29. There is Edom. Edom's there. Edom's in the pit. Edom's in hell. I think that every, whether it's young person or whether it's adult who has been brought up in a Christian home and in a gospel society, should sit up and take note of this fact that Edom is there, Edom is in hell. For who was Edom? Edom is the name that was given to Esau. You'll see it in Genesis 25 in the verse 30. Edom means red. This name was given to Esau, the eldest son, twin son of Isaac and Rebekah, in Genesis 25 and verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. He was named Edom because he was given the red pottage. And I've entitled him the privileged sinner because he had the privilege of a saved father and a godly mother. His father could preach the gospel from experience. His father could tell him of the day that his grandfather took Isaac, his father, up Mount Moriah. And he laid him on that altar and he lifted the sword and he was going to plunge a knife into Isaac. And the Lord told him to stop, that there was a ram caught in the thicket, and where Isaac was going to die, the ram, the spotless ram, took his place and was slain and shed his blood, that Isaac might live. It's a picture of the gospel. The sinner will face the sword of God's judgment for his own sin. But the ram died and shed his blood. The lamb died and shed his blood in the sinner's place. And I've no doubt that Esau heard the gospel, heard the message of salvation through the slain lamb. And yet in Genesis 25, we read that this man who had a saved father and a godly mother, that he had a birthright, as it were, of the people of God. But in Genesis 25, he despised it. Do you know why he despised it? He was too busy out in the field. The field in the Bible is a symbol of the world. The field is the world, Jesus said. And he was so busy running in the world that he despised his birthright. And he came home on the point of starvation and death. And he said, "Give me the pottage." And he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. He sold his gospel heritage. He sold his soul and his soul's salvation. So busy running to the world that he rejected the Lord. He despised his birthright and he sold his soul for a bowl of measly pottage. How many are doing the same? How many in Portadown? How many from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church have grown up and despised the birthright of the gospel, and they're so busy seeking the pleasures in the world and the pleasures of sin that they'd sell their soul and go to hell for nothing more than a bowl of pottage or a few pleasures in this world? You know the tragedy of Esau. Later in life, listen to me in closing, and I'll close briefly. This is a tragedy. You will read in Hebrews 12 and 17 that later on Esau had regret. He'd regret, but he was never redeemed. And it tells us that he was rejected of God and that he couldn't find repentance, though he sought it with tears. God give them a gospel heritage. And yet there came a time when he passed God's deadline. He sold his soul. He said no to God, no to salvation for the world and the bowl of pottage. And later on, when he regretted his actions, he couldn't find repentance, though he saw it with tears. Listen, there comes a time when God's Spirit may well stop striving and God will depart from the sinner, having it all the privileges, rejecting the gospel. You could reject it for the last time, and God will never give you another opportunity to receive it. That's what happened to Esau. Edom, with all his privileges, he rejected the gospel at a certain time in his life, and God never gave him another opportunity. If there's someone in this meeting tonight and you are like Esau, you've been brought up with God, a godly heritage, godly parents, a saved father, a mother that loves the Lord, and tonight the Spirit is speaking to you to stop fooling about with the things of the world. Stop chasing the pleasures of the world. And get right with God. Do it tonight. For God doesn't promise you another night to get right with Him. And if, like Esau, you pass God's deadline, when you come to die, you'll be there. You'll be where Edom and Esau is, for all your gospel privileges, for all the gospel meetings you sat in, for all the gospel invitations you rejected. You'll be there. You'll go down to the pit and you'll never escape. Praise God tonight. The Lord holds out in this day of grace the offer of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, it's been a solemn word tonight. May the Spirit speak on to souls. And should there be any here yet in their sin, whether they're a proud sinner, whether, Lord, they're one who's chasing prosperity, or whether there's one and they're privileged, Lord, we pray that they'll not go down into the pit, but they'll turn from their sin, repent and believe, and experience God's salvation and forgiveness. Apply thy word to every heart, and separate us with thy fear and in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.